for the first time in 9 regular season meetings. Your final here. The Leafs 4 and the Bruins nothing.
Keith, I said this the other day. I want to be fair to the Bruins.
Yeah, you're always fair.
That's me.
Yeah.
Magnanimous
fair. Jones.
Fair. That's what they call me.
Yep.
If I had a baseball reference page, that would be the nickname.
Fair.
Fair Jones.
Yep.
I want to be fair to the Bruins. I give them credit for not firing Jim Montgomery in the middle of the election.
They didn't do that.
I want to give him credit for that. This is an organization that has been known to bury firings and bury bad news and fire Claude Julien, a Stanley Cup winning coach, in the middle of a Patriots parade.
Right. Well, the Patriots do play Sunday, so there's time.
I want to give him credit for what I can give him credit for in the meantime. They did not fire Jim Montgomery in the middle of an election.
Yep. Tip of the cap to them.
So good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, good for the Bruins.
I get it.
They're growing. I want to give them credit where they can.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, that game yesterday, or I'm sorry, 2 days
Tuesday
ago.
Tuesday was rough.
Was a complete and utter mess. And some of us had the Bruins money line in that game.
That was a mistake.
It's a Bruins Thursday here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It was Mike Milbury this morning with Greg Hill. We got Andrew Raycroft of Nesson joining us now. He's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning. The name to know when your drains don't flow. Razor, what was that the other night? What was that?
Well, let's start with, like, the good news is we will never have to worry about firing coaches in a Patriots parade because they have zero chance of winning anything for a really, really long time. So let me get that out there first. No one's paying attention to them on Sunday. They played a good first half of the game, and they took stupid penalties. And their power play is not good enough, and their penalty kill is not good enough. So a team that's been synonymous with the top 7 in the league for the last 15 years in special teams, both power play and penalty kill, you could set a watch to it, isn't there right now. And in a league that's very special teams dependent, you get that the other night. The Leafs power play had been horrible, and for the fourth time this season, the Bruins give up 3 power play goals in a game. You can't win that way.
Yeah, is there a reason that you could pinpoint for why they've been so bad killing penalties this year? I mean, I know they're constantly trying to kill penalties, but it does seem like a ton of goals are allowed.
Yeah, it starts with taking too many, and it starts with taking ones. So the 2 they take in the game against Toronto in the second period, when again there it was a good, you know, it was a 0-0, 5-on-5, not really much happening, but that's a good thing when you go into Toronto kind of game. And then there's a bad handoff between Swayman and his defense. Zadorov has to take a penalty that really should never have happened, so it's unforced. They score. A minute and a half later, they take another penalty in the neutral zone, unforced, not a scoring chance, not a scoring opportunity, and the Leafs score, and it's 2-0, and then you're chasing the game. And then you're reaching, and then you're poking. So, again, it's the way you're taking penalties. It's the fact you're taking too many. And listen, they lost a little bit of depth last season. I know everyone... it was easy to criticize a guy like Derek Forbert the last couple of years on the back end, and oh, he's big, he's slow. Well, he killed a lot of penalties. He's the first one over the boards over on the left side, and I think I continually said that he's very important to this team. I think he continually said he's an asset, and he's not there now. Jake DeBrusk turned into a really good penalty killer. Danton Heinen was another really good killer. So I think they might be trying to figure out their formula on the PK personnel-wise, on top of just taking too many.
Now, Razor, I don't want to brag, but Keith and I were in the building on Sunday watching the Kraken. We were actually relatively in your section. The gentleman in front of us was trying to get your attention the entire game. He had a big sign. He was trying to get your attention. I don't know how successful that was.
Okay. Not very. Usually those guys just want to get on the big screen. I think they like try and get my attention.
They just see a camera and think that's going to get them on the Jumbotron. I see.
Correct.
Got
those
it,
guys
got
are
it.
Jumbotron guys.
Yeah, you were locked in. You were locked in. You weren't giving them the time of day. You were focused on the job at hand, which I give you credit for. But so we were in the building. Pasternak gets benched in the third period. The team wins that game, and then they do what they did the other night. Is that carryover? Is that a reflection in any way on Montgomery and how the team feels about him, how Pasternak and another star like Marchand feel about him? Should we connect those two?
No, I don't get that sense at all. I traveled with the team this weekend. I went up to Trying. I thought everyone was in pretty good spirits. They're pretty happy that they shut everybody out on the weekend. I think it was a pretty good storm, perfect storm for the benching of David. You're up 2-0. you guys saw it. They were out shooting Seattle 25-6 after two periods. The game did not need any more offense. The Bruins were going to win that game in the third period. So it was kind of timely to be able to sit your goal scorer, prove a point, and garner a lot of currency for the rest of the team and accountability on the season. I don't think they did skate Monday. Most guys skated Monday. They had an optional skate Tuesday. So by the time that game started Tuesday, I'm assuming it wasn't in most people's minds. And again, I think it just comes down to Tuesday night to the bad special teams.
You know, NHL coaches get fired all the time, and it's certainly not always their fault while the team is struggling, but it's like the one move that the GM, president, or whatever can kind of do to spark the team. Do you think the way things are going that Montgomery could survive a losing streak? Like, let's say they rip off three. They've only lost one now, but I'm just saying, like, the way things are going right now, the team's below 500. If they drop 2-3 in a row, do you think he's going to survive that?
So, I do. Yes, I do. We did the hypothetical last week after the 8-2 drubbing, and it's if they could easily lose in Philly, they could lose against Seattle, they could lose, and it, so it's tough for me to do that. It's just not like the way I think about the game and how it works. I guess the big thing, right, and the reason why we're talking about it is the contract, right? Yep. If he had a year left on his contract next year, would we be calling for a firing? Would we be that's kind of the way I'm picturing this. Like, okay, let's take all the business out of it. Would you be asking me if you're going to fire Jim Montgomery, who's had two of the best seasons, regular seasons, in Bruins history the last 2 years, and lost to the Stanley Cup finalist and the Stanley Cup winner in the playoffs the last 2 years? Would you be calling for his head this early in the season? I don't think so.
I mean, I might be Razor, but I can't speak to everybody else.
Maybe the front office, but I also think, going back to last year, as great as his regular seasons have been, I think if he doesn't get out of the first round last year, he loses his job. Like, I think it came down to the second round.
I've got a lot of sayings of buts. If this had this, then that would be my uncle, right?
Yeah,
like, we could do the buts. We can't do that, right?
Like, blue.
So, I don't see it. I just don't see it. It's still early in the season. He's got some time to build this group. It's not ideal to be under 500. We've talked. You have to sort things out. I'm not saying everything's perfect. I just think that you have to give a guy who's coming in. I guess that's it. You know, you could do that game too. I don't know who's a better hire if we actually wanted to go down that road. So again, I really think this group can turn it around. I think the best players have to play better. I think the Charlie Coyles, the Fredericks, they have to get scoring and helping this group, and I think they can get on a run. So if they lose eight in a row here, then you can continue to ask me that. Might change.
And I don't know who would be better. I really don't. On the current staff, do you see any of those guys as future NHL head coaches, like some of the assistants right now, whether it's here or somewhere else? Like, are there a guy like Chris Kelly or somebody that you feel like, yeah, that guy's going to be a head coach?
Well, Joe Sacco has been a coach in the NHL. He coached a long time. You know, he had coached in Colorado. So I would assume, I haven't asked any of those guys personally if they have aspirations for that, but I assume, like all of us, we have goals and we continue to try and get better at what we do. I would assume they would want to be head coaches, or wouldn't turn it down if it was offered, but I don't know. I don't know what that dynamic is.
Mm-hmm. If Monty's so good and they like him so much, how come they haven't given him a contract extension?
I don't know. I don't know if it could be a lot of different things, I suppose, term, money. But that's kind of what's hanging around this. And I certainly have no insight on that.
We talked last week about Jeremy Swayman. Well, actually both goalies we talked about last week, but I'm curious now to this point of the year, and I get it that they're trying to kill off a lot of penalties, and Toronto scores three power play goals the other night. But just looking at the overall numbers, he's now down to 40th in the league in goals against average. How would you say I know the stats don't always tell the story, so how would you say whatever it is, 10 starts that he has had, Swayman is playing?
I think he's been good. I think it's really hard to have good numbers when you're giving up three power play goals, because essentially you have to be really perfect the rest of the way, and you have to get a lot of shots to get your numbers up. So three power play goals, you need 30 power play shots to end up 900, which is a respectable number in this league. The save percentages are going down, shooters are getting better. So when you put up a six spot early in the season, that's going to inflate your six goals on in a half a game last week.
Yeah.
That's going to really inflate the numbers. So I think the numbers aren't ideal, but you can explain that. I think his game itself has been good, and I think he needs a little bit of help, both goaltenders, on that penalty kill. Because, again, if you're a goaltender, you're giving up three power play goals in a game, it's just never going to make your stats look good. Again, I can go and I could take those out, because I think we could all agree, like, it wasn't like he had a chance on those power play goals Tuesday night in Toronto. So you take those out, and he made 20 of 20 saves 5-on-5 and looked pretty solid outside of those. So I think the penalty kill numbers, and this goes back, guys, to maybe why the goaltending numbers have been so amazing here for a long time, is because the penalty kill has been so good for so long and so much better than everybody else in the league, that we're seeing what can happen if you have a bad penalty kill to goaltender numbers on top of standings.
There's a name out there that apparently is garnering interest throughout the league on the Bruins. You know, short of firing Montgomery, maybe they can make a change to the roster. I guess is where I'm going with this. Kevin Weeks says that a lot of teams are interested in pending UFA Trent Frederick. He's drawing attention in the marketplace. That doesn't mean the Bruins are going to trade him if he's drawing attention. But is there a name on the roster where you look at it and go, okay, if the Bruins were going to make a switch to their roster, they're not going to fire Montgomery, they're going to have to change things up with the team to get penalty killing or whatever they need, is there a name you look at that would be a logical guy to move? Is Frederick that guy?
Well, no, I don't think so, because I think Freddie is very important to this group. I think they expect a lot out of him. And of course, again, contract business side of it, that stuff starts leaking out. And trust me, agents, the top guys on Elliot Friedman, Kevin Weeks, the insiders in all sports, the first five guys on their list of phones who they call the most are five agents. That's the pipeline. That's how that works. And you know, the start of the season hasn't gone Freddie's way, but I think there's a lot in there. I think the Bruins think there's a lot in there, and I think he's a big piece of getting going, not just the penalty kill, but scoring a little bit more. So I think all the pieces are in the room. I just think that it hasn't quite been to the level that each individual expects, and they feel like they could turn that around starting tonight against Calgary.
Razor, before we let you go, are you excited for the flood of American celebrities moving to Canada? Are you guys excited for that?
Oh, wait till they get to Canada and see how great it is up there. yeah, the politics in Canada is fantastic right now. All my friends, I was in Toronto. We had an interesting conversation. So I wish all of those high earners who make a lot of money making movies, good luck with their tax bill in Canada.
Yeah, they can share that with the whole rest of the country. Yeah. All right, Razor, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
You got it, guys.